John the 8th chapter. We'll read responsibly the first 11 verses. And shall we stand, please? As we always do, let's stand for the reading of this passage. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down, and wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And together also on the 11th verse, please. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And let's pray. Bless now, we pray, dear Lord, our time of hearing the word of God. We're thankful for a preacher who preaches it, a church where we can hear it. We're thankful to be among friends who feel as we feel, believe as we believe. But help us to carry forth from this place tonight that which will help us to be better acclimated to the work and to the doing of thy will, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Father, thou hast brought us again to this place, and thou hast a purpose for this service. Now please fulfill it, and bless our hearts and change our lives because we're here. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Lord was teaching in the 8th chapter of John, as recorded in the 8th chapter of John. And as he was teaching, the scribes and Pharisees came, and they said to him, they had a woman with them, and they set her in the middle of the group, and they said to him, they said, we've taken, and that word taken is the word apprehended. It's a word that was often used as arrest, like you'd apprehend a criminal. We've taken this woman in the act of adultery, and the word act there is the word that was used for crime. We have arrested this person we caught in the act or in crime. And we've apprehended this woman. She was caught in the very crime or in the very act. And Jesus, just as you know, wrote on the ground. And twice he did. Then he said, He that was out sin among you, let him cast the first stone. For the Old Testament law had allowed for that. And he said, let him cast the first stone. And the Bible said that beginning with the oldest down to the youngest, they walked away. And the Lord said to her, he said, among other things, go and sin no more. Now, the thing I'd like to call your attention probably is something that many of you never thought about. I'd like to ask, where was the man? Where was the man? Takes two. Where was the man? The law had been the Old Testament law, Deuteronomy chapter 22, and Leviticus. I've forgotten the chapter. I think it's 21. Not sure. Maybe it's 16. Anyway, the law had said that both be stoned, and they brought the woman. Where was the man? God never invented a double standard. And these men, I use the word men for loosely, because they weren't masculine. But these fellows, men, scribes and Pharisees, had brought this woman and set the woman in the midst. But that man with whom she committed adultery was just as guilty as she was. And if the woman was brought, he likewise should have been brought. Now here's the kind of unisex movement God's for. God's not for this unisex movement where the woman, the man get their hair cut alike. God's not for that kind of stuff. Not at all. And I wouldn't even get close to it if I were you. I want my hair as opposite a woman as I can make it. And I think you'll agree that I've achieved that. But no way I'd even walk in one of these barber shops that say unisex barber shop. First place, women shouldn't get their hair done at a barber shop, and men shouldn't get their hair done at a beauty shop. Now, some of you fellows can. I said men. This country's bereft tonight for men. I mean, what I just said a while ago is because some people, that's what the whole left movement is. It's anti-man. Anti-man. If a man rises on the scene, they say he's a dictator. They say he's no compassion. If a man rises on the scene, says right's right, wrong's wrong, black is black, white is white, good is good, bad is bad, and then all the little left pinkies start coming out and throwing things at him and saying he's a dictator. He doesn't understand the masses, and our country is bereft tonight for real manliness and real leadership. And these little fellas came trotting out there and they said, Lord, we found her. What you gonna do? It says they did this to tempt him or to test him. Said, what you gonna do? I don't know what he wrote in the ground, but I wouldn't be surprised. That's not what he wrote. Where's the man? That's as good a guess as you got. It just may be, he wrote, where's the man? I don't know what he wrote, but I know this. I know if the woman was sitting there, the man should have been sitting there too. And I know if the woman got criticized for what she did, the man should have gotten criticized for what he did. And I know that the man was just as guilty, are you listening, as the woman was. Where's the man? That's the kind of unisex movement God's for. God's not these men and women dressing like unisex clothing apparel shop. I told you years ago. I told you that it's going to come. If you ladies kept wearing pants, I told you that it'd come when men are wearing dresses, and it's here. I saw a catalog the other day. Said that had picture of dresses for men. And some of you females, you abhor that. Well, why didn't you abhor it the other time? I told you it's going to happen. And by the way, a man has got just as much right to wear a dress as a woman has to wear pants. You getting on that again? No, still. Still. Brother, I just believe men ought to be men and women ought to be women. I just think men ought to be men and women ought to be glad of it. And here we are now. I've been hollering. I got a letter the other day. A fellow apologizing to me. He said, I hated you for your stand on the fact that women ought not to wear pants. And he said, I hated you for it. But he said, now I see you're right. I want you to forgive me because now the men are advertising for men in the catalogs and dresses. And I say it again. If a woman's got a right to wear pants, a man's got a right to wear earrings and a skirt and a negligee. I mean, the whole society is wacky. One world, one government, one church, one race, one sex,
all get together, and they've got, listen, they've got the Americans, and religious America, and the National Council of Churches believing that hogwash, that unless you're for one world, one sex, one race, one government, one church, you're not for love and unity. That's the silliest thing I ever heard of in my life. I say this soberly, and I don't want you to giggle about this. That's one reason why I think men ought to be men, women, women, because I am for love, proper love. I mean, these little, earring, and I see them on the airplane, little earring wearing people. I mean, they're wearing makeup. Makeup. Lipstick. Rouge. I saw those little twinkies of the day with eyeshadow on. I like to shatter his eyes myself. But women have been acting like men for years, and you haven't been hollering very much. But there is an area where there's no difference. We hear about Mother's Bible. Wonder why we don't hear enough about Daddy's Bible. We hear about Mother's Prayers. Your kids ought to say as much, and when they get older, when you're gone to heaven, about Daddy's Bible as Mama's Bible, and about Daddy's Prayers as Mama's Prayers. We've somehow associated decency with women, and that's not just right. I mean, men are supposed to be as decent as women are. We know about what I learned at Mother's Knee. Well, bless God, it ought to be what I learned at Daddy's Knee. We sing, "Tell Mother I'll be there." How about singing, "Tell Daddy I'll be there"? You know what shows the deterioration of our country? Here's a football game on television. This big old fellow weighs 725 pounds. He's got a beard that weighs 300 pounds. Looks like he just got through defeating a gorilla. He comes off on the field, sweaty. Looks like he's Goliath with a beard and a football uniform on. He comes over there and this big old guy, you know, and all of a sudden... And all of a sudden, the camera points to him, and he goes, "Hi, Mom." I like that. Won't somebody say, "Hi, Dad"? We're here, too, you know. It's always, "Hi, Mom." Always. I never heard anybody say, "Hi, Dad." Never. You know why? I know why. Because Mom was the biggest influence on his life, and that shouldn't be true. Where's the man? We hear, "Shh, don't talk like that. There's a lady here." Why don't somebody say, "Shh, don't talk like that. There's a man here"? That's because not many men here. Listen, I'm not talking about an overbearing ogre. I'm not talking about a fella who takes his authority because he's supposed to. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking to some of you guys going home tonight, exerting your thought. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that God, that men ought to be as righteous as women, and men ought to be as pure as women, and men ought to read the Bible as much as women, and men ought to pray as much as women, and men ought to go soul winning as much as women. And if a young lady is expected to be a virgin at the altar, then a young man ought to be expected to be a virgin at the altar. And you have no right in this world to expect a pure young lady to give herself to your impurity. And you have no right to expect a decent young lady to give herself to your indecency. And you have no right in this world to expect any more than you give. And brother, it's time we talked about virgin men for a while. And it's time we talked about chaste men and pure men. I say, where's the man? There's the gal. Where's he? I'll tell you where he is. He's back yonder in a double standard room. That's where he is, because the men somehow associate the sin with the woman. But bless God, it was just as much the man's sin as it was the woman. And God expects a man to be as righteous and as holy and as dedicated and as spiritual as he expects a woman to be. And God expects a young man to be as dedicated and as clean and pure as he expects a young girl to be. And God expects a teenage boy to be as clean and decent as he expects a teenage girl to be. And brother, there's no double standard in the Bible. Man made that, and God had nothing to do with it. Where's the man? Every young lady in this room who's not married ought to walk down that aisle someday. And I've said this thousands of times, I'm sure, and I'll say it thousands of more if God lets me stay here. Every young lady in this room who's single ought to walk down that aisle right there, and when your father says, and the preacher said, who gives the bride away? And your father says, I do, or her mother and I do, or the old lady and me. And when your groom stands up and offers you his arm, every young lady in this room ought to look to him and say, I'm pure, I'm clean, I've saved myself, I'm a virgin. Now you can't do that watching Love Boat on Saturday nights. And you can't do that watching Dallas. And you can't do that glued to that sorry box on prime time. You can't do it. You're going to have to watch that which is clean and think about that. And you, listen, you can't do it. What's this guy's name? It's this black fellow's name. It's a, what? Mike? Michael Jackson. Boy, if you haven't gotten any more spirituality than to follow that guy, then you have no right to call yourself a child of God anyhow. That's indecency at its deepest cesspool of iniquity. That's filth and garbage at its... Hey, don't you laugh while I'm talking about this. I'm preaching the truth to you. That stuff came out of hell. And it's going to go back to hell, too. Some of our young folks not long ago were wearing a glove on one hand to school. And somebody said, that's the symbol of Mike Jackson. Then take one of them off or put the other on. If you got a picture of Mike Jackson in your locker, you take it out and put John Rice's picture in there. You got to be a dirty heathen hippie. then go on where the rest of them are. Because I'm not going to come back here anymore. We need the space anyhow. We've been adding to this auditorium and adding to it and adding to it. Let's just cut the crowd down to fit it. Heathen! Pagan! Because I don't like your preaching. I don't like your choosing of heroes either. Now you listen to me. By the way, in case some of you folks are worried about some of these college boys saying amen, you ought to be saying it louder than they do. We hear, as the mothers go, so go the nation. I don't believe that for a minute. I think as the fathers go, so go the nation. Let me remind you, in Acts 16:31, it was a man to whom the apostle spoke when he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. The Bible says that Saul went forth to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. Didn't say they went with him to WMS. Do I thank God the WMS? But I'm going to battle, I ain't taking them. Well, I might after all. Somebody said, you like Jane Byrne being a mayor of Chicago? She's probably the best man for the job. Wasn't David's mighty women, is David's mighty men. And it was, and the apostles were Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and not Patricia, Andrea, Jamie, and Jonelle. I mean, right here in Illinois, you got some Southern Baptist churches got women preachers now. Women pastors. It's garbage. Yeah, amen, amen, amen. You know why we've got women pastors? We haven't got enough men to go around. Where are the men? Pastors are men in the Bible. Was a day, I could say, he's supposed to be the husband, listen to me, husband of one wife. That means a man. Doesn't mean anymore. Deacons were men. It was a prodigal son's dad that welcomed home and planned the party. It was not his mama. 'Tis dad that should get the Bible down and read it to his kids. 'Tis dad that ought to set the tithe aside and bring it to the house of God and put it in the collection plate on Sunday. I'm not kidding. This may be funny to you, not funny to God. I mean, this double standard of spiritual women and heathen men and women that come to church and pray and read their Bible and go soul winning while the men don't do a thing for God. That's not, I'm not talking about a leadership now. I'm talking about spirituality. Just dad ought to be the best Bible student in the family. And dad ought to be the best soul winner in the family. And it's time, if the children need somebody to pray for them, they ought to come to dad and say, "Dad, pray for me," instead of mama and say, "Mama, pray for me." I think it's wonderful. I thank God for you women. We had a hard time getting here without you. I'm glad for you. And I'm on your side tonight. I'm saying that men are not the notable standard, and what a woman's supposed to be as far as spirituality and Bible study and Bible reading and prayer and soul winning and walking with God, the man's supposed to be too. It's dad that, I'll say this, thank God for women that train their children. But I want to make this very plain. I think that the big burden of training children in the Bible was on men. You turn that box off. Start training. It's his dad that should pray the children to God. It's his dad that ought to be the most spiritual person in the home and the most spiritual people in the church. It's his dad that ought to sit and train a son to walk, to sit, to shake hands, to be a man, to be a gentleman. And what's wrong with dad teaching his daughters to be a good wife? He probably knows what men want more than mama does. By the way, the book of Proverbs is from a dad to a son. And the book in the Bible that deals the most with training, from dad to a son. By the way, dad ought to be as much ready to enforce the rules as mama. There's some of you men right now, you letting your teenagers run around here in cars alone. If you had any gumption, you'd stop it. By the way, did you know the Bible never says play with your children? You know what being a good daddy is these days? Go to the ball game together. Throw horseshoes together. Now, nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's good. I did all that with our boy. But the Bible doesn't say it. And we have got our priorities all upside down. we place being a good buddy to a son above training. By the way, I don't see any place in the Bible where it says you're supposed to vacation with your kids. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not against it. But you're not obeying God when you say do it. And nothing wrong with it. God didn't say, "Take us therefore thy boy to the cubbist at Wrigley Fieldist and watch a holy game." Doesn't say that. Now, the truth is, Bible does say, train him. Now it's time. Some of you guys quit being his. And by the way, I don't see in the Bible that say you're supposed to be popular with your kids either. I don't know. I don't see any place in the Bible. No place in the Bible that says dad and mom are in a campaign for who they like the most. Nothing in the Bible about popularity with the kid. The truth is, there are times when any leader who's worth his salt is going to sacrifice his popularity for his stand. They got this thing all cattywampus. Now I go using Greek words again. We got all cattywampus. We've been swept up in this pleasure-mad society. Determines you're a good dad if you take him to a ball game, or you're a good dad if you have fun with him, have fun with her, you play together, and no sir, the Bible doesn't say cheer up your child, it says train up your child. I want to tell you something, kids. 20 years from tonight, you're going to hate the teachers you loved in school. And you're going to love the teachers you hated. And 20 years from now, you're not going to care much for the parents that won you with their charisma. But you're going to thank God for those that you didn't used to like too much. I mean, there was a time in my life, a stage I went through where I didn't like my mama very much. It's between the year, ages of 1 and 18. I always felt like, I just didn't feel like mama was trying to be popular with me. And she succeeded at what she was not trying to do. But you're going to like us some of these days. I get letters almost every week of my life. People say, "Preacher, I used to like you when I was growing up, but now that I've got my own kids, I want you to know I thank God for the stamp." And we've got young people writing me all across America, parents now, and saying, "Would God I had a church I could go to and take my children that where the preacher takes a stand like you take." You'll like us one of these days. We had a coach in school. Now, it's not, coaches aren't always like this, but ours was. He taught history. He was as lazy as a willow tree. We always had true and false tests, and we graded each other's papers, so we wouldn't have to grade them. I never have liked true and false tests, because you got a 50-50 chance to get it right. Like a fellow said, "I heard you had a baby. How is he?" Says, "Not a he, it's a she." "He, hold it, it's a girl." Said, "That's right." Said, "I got it right on the second try." And, you know, I never like true and false tests. And I don't like for, especially, teacher. And so what happened? All these wicked guys in our class grade each of those papers. And they had a change. And these guys make an A. And boy, he's the most popular teacher in school until they took their ACT test. And they hated his insides then. Now, dads, I'm saying that you ought to train your children. And a lot of you ought to quit your popularity contest and get in the training business. That word train is interesting. The word train there means lead your child to sound judgment by repetition. You heard me tell about all the repetition. Our kids are growing up. Good night. I'd put Becky outside in the hallway and have Dave inside. I have Becky walk in, Dave stand up. Becky walk out, Dave sit down. Becky walk in, Dave stand up. Becky walk out, and Dave sit down. We'd do that for 15 minutes, sometimes for 30 minutes. Becky'd walk in and out, Dave'd go up and down. Why? Because I wanted to get in the inside of David, in the subconscious. When a lady walks in, you stand up. That's what it means. Train. Yeah. We call it a homo drill. You've heard of fire drills? It's a homo drill. Short for homosexual drill. I'd get me a wig, long haired. You say, "Brother Hines, all long haired people aren't homosexual." I didn't say they were. All folks that wear a uniform aren't in the Navy either, but they look like it. Wear a Navy uniform. So if you're not in the Navy, why wear the uniform? If you're not a sissy, why look like it? There you go on hair again. Yeah, and I'll probably be there again a little while next Sunday night, too. Nothing makes me more ashamed than to see one of our graduates from our high school come back and flaunt his wicked, long, hippie hair as if, "So you have not, he can't do it now. He can't do anything about it now." Makes me ashamed. Ashamed. Brother, we're not training you to, so you, when you get out of our schools, to quit our standards. We're training you to have enough gumption. When you get out of our schools, you'll follow our standards and God's standards. I'd get me a wig, long hair, and I'd give me a, I'd put some sunglasses on. I talk David. Anytime anybody comes up in a car and says, "I'm your dad's friend," or "Your dad told me to come and get you," I said, "Son, you run as fast as you can and scream as loud as you can." We'd practice it. I'd be the fellow it. And I'd drive up. I'd say, "Hello there, Dave. I'm a friend of your dad. He sent me to get you." And old David would go, "Ah! and run as fast as it could. But go back and do it again. You know why? Because many a little guy has been stolen off a school ground by a sex pervert. And he wasn't trained by his dad. Oh, he knew what Love Boat was all about because his dad sat there and watched that while he ate his potato chips and enlarged his impregnated stomach. Get up! Cut that thing off and go train your boy! You know, last thing some of you dads trained your kid was on the potty. The last training. You know why you did that? For your convenience. That's the last training many a kid in this church has got was potty training. Bible says train up. You know what that means? It means train him all the way up. It means the last days in your home you're still training him. Train him up. Train him to eat, but don't stop there. Train him up. Train him to walk, but don't stop there. Train him up. Train him to talk, but don't stop there. Train him up. Train him how to dress himself, but don't stop there. Train him up. Train him how to tie his shoes, but don't stop there. Train him up. Train up a child the way he should go. Train him to bathe himself, but don't stop there. Train him up. Train him how to write, but don't stop there. Train him up. Teach him how to read, but don't stop there. Train him up. Teach him how to add and subtract. Don't stop there. Train him up. Teach him how to be courteous, but don't stop there. Train him up. Teach him how to be masculine. And don't stop there. Train him up. Teach him how to be a mate. Train him up. Listen. The last day any of our kids lived in our house, I'll guarantee you, for the last day, I was trying to teach them some things. Now, I'm not saying mama shouldn't do it. I'm not saying that. Mamas aren't important. But I tell you what. We have left the training of our children to mamas, and that's not scriptural. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You say, I tried it, it didn't work. You know how you tried it? Here's how you did it. And now we're going to study the apocalypse. Sit still, our son. This is the word of God. Now the premillennial coming of Christ is opposed to the amillennial coming of Christ. Son, sit still. This is eschatological truth. That's the way you train him. You know the way the part that I had in training our kids? If I taught a Bible story? Can I have this mic? One time, this is Bible teaching time now. And one of our kids sitting up down here, she's not a very good proof of what I did, but she's best I could do. One time, you know what? One time, there's a man. He was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And here he was going, holding his microphone while he went. He's going down Jerusalem to Jericho. And all of a sudden, he looked, and there were some thieves. And one of them got here, hit him right there! Another one, hit him right there! Another one, hit him right there! And he fell down. Little girl in our Sunday school teacher was teaching about the Good Samaritan and said this guy was fell on thieves and it hit him in the eye, blacked his eye, hit him in the nose was bleeding, hit him in the mouth, teeth set out, half stripped, half naked, there on there now like that. Said, what would you have done if you'd walked by? One little girl said, I'd have thrown up. He fell down. And it came by a priest.
way. How irreverently disgusting. And Sandy said, then what did they do? You see, the truth is, your kids don't like the Bible because you didn't like the Bible. Your kids don't like it. Listen. I was told bedtime stories. Cindy? What? One time, there was a man. It was you. And I said, that man was a father of a little girl who was 2 years old. And me. And you know what? What? You know what? What? That man loved that little girl. And she'd go, Well, you said, Hiles, I'm just not that type. You could get that type on your knees right here at the altar right now. I was sitting years ago. I had in my lap Melissa, Linda and Johnny's little girl. And I said, I'll tell you a story. Okay. One time, there was a papaw. She said, that's you. I'm Fritz's papaw. For Becky's children. See, Becky's married to one of our Deacon Smith's son. And they had a dog. What was your dog's name? Is Glenn or I? Frosty, yeah. So our dog's named Fritz. And so I'm Fritz's papaw, and Lynn is Frosty's papaw. So I said to Melissa, I think this is on Christmas morning. I said, one time there was a papaw. She said, your papaw. And I said, he had the prettiest and sweetest and smartest little granddaughter anybody ever had. And she said, that's me. And I said, you know what? She was a good girl. And that makes Papaw proud. It makes him clap his hands like this and jump up and down and say, whoopee! And I heard some sniffles. And I turned around. And there was Becky and Linda and Cindy. And they were sort of weeping. And I didn't know they were there. And they were remembering when Daddy used to tell them stories like that. I want to say, where's the man? I see Mama's Bible. Where's Daddy's Bible? I want to say something now. I haven't got a thing in the world to do with this sermon. I've been wanting to say it several weeks. I've been trying to find an appropriate time. Couldn't find it, so I want to say it now. I don't like your kind of preaching. You may check its product before you decide whether you like it or not. Don't criticize recipes you eat the nanner pudding. Now, what was I going to say? You know what I think? I think if the man has to have help in making the living, I'm talking about young couples now. I'm talking about you people. Old, it's too late to change you. I'm talking about you young couples. If the woman has to go to work and work all day to help pay the bills, and the man works all day too, the man hadn't gotten the right to come home, open the newspaper, put his house shoes on while the woman cooks supper, washes dishes, cleans the house, washes and irons. If she's going to help you do your part, then you're supposed to help her do her part. Amen? Come on, girls! Where's the woman?
I don't understand that. You work 8 hours a day. She works 8 hours a day. You come home and watch I Love Lucifer. What's wrong with this house? It's a mess. Get up and clean it, Buster. Now, I'm not for house husbands. But if she's going to help you do your part, I think it's only fair. Now, that's what I've been wanting to say for weeks. Didn't have a single sermon to go in. So I put it in this one because nothing in this sermon fits anyway. Where's the man? I see Mama's Bible. Where's Daddy's? I see Mama's prayer closet. Where's Daddy's? I see Mama's soul winning. Where's Daddy's? I see Mama's purity. Where's Daddy's? I see Mama's decency. Where's Daddy's? I hear Mama's good vocabulary. Where's Daddy's? I see Mama's Sunday school class. Where's Daddy's? I see Mama's praying. Where's Daddy's? I see Mama training the children. Where's Daddy? I don't want to offend you ladies. I thank God for you. And bless God, if it weren't for godly ladies, I don't know how many of us would ever mount anything. And if anybody in the world has a right to stand up and thank God for a mother who trains her children, my sister and I have that right tonight. But I don't think there's ever going to be a double standard when it comes to spirituality. And I don't think these fellows had any right in the world to bring this woman and set her in the middle of them and say, "Stone her!" I won't ask them. Where's the man? Where's the man? How much Bible do you read, man? How often do you get on your knees and pray? How many nights have you stayed up to 1 o'clock in the morning on your face praying for God to bless your children, help them turn out right? How many nights? I can say this tonight, realizing my daughter sitting on the second row. Our other three children hear this on tape. I can say it and look her in the eyeball while I say it. There's not been a 24-hour period since she was born that I haven't prayed God to bless her and use her. And there's not been a day that since she's been married or since she was engaged to get married that I haven't prayed for God to help her to make Jack Scott everything he needs in a wife. Where's the man? Where's the man? Time some of you men got spiritual. It's pitiful for women to come to my office and say, "What can I do? My husband, he may be a deacon and won't tithe. Now, if you're a deacon and don't tithe, you start tithing or you are lying because you promised that you'd tithe when you got on the deacon board. You're not fit to be a deacon if you don't tithe." You say, "I'll resign. I can beat that. Start tithing. Be honest. Quit being a crook." Little lady's coming in and said, "Preacher, I want to tithe. What do I do? My husband won't do it. Where's the man? Where's the man? Where's your Bible? Where's your prayer closet? Where are your tears? Where's your broken heart? Where's your string of souls? Where's your spirituality? Where's your decency?" I'm about to quit. As soon as I can think of a sad story to tell, I'm going to quit. Woman's got just as much a right to cuss as a man has. Did you hear what I said? If a woman's got a right to wear pants, man's got a right to wear a skirt. And a woman's got just as much a right, a young lady... not married yet, has got just as much a right to be impure as a young man has. And just as sure as every young lady will walk that aisle pure and chaste and give a pure body to her groom, every young man will look at her and say, "I've saved myself for you and I'm clean and pure too." Listen. I have worked and walked with the toughest of men. I was a paratrooper. I have seen... the most vulgar men I can imagine.
These ears have heard talk as vulgar as can be described. And I've seen, but I've never in all of my life, and you guys back in what I'm talking about, the sailors, I've never seen a young man that wanted to marry, but what didn't want to marry? A clean girl. If you're going to expect it, then you give it. Where's the man? Where's his Bible? Where's his prayer closet? Where's his devotion? Where's his decency? I was but a little child, how well I recollect how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. But now that she has gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my mother, I'll be there. Listen, why don't somebody sing, when I was but a little child, how well I recollect, when I would grieve my daddy with my folly and neglect. But now that he's gone to heaven, I miss his tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my daddy, I'll be there. Where's the man, our Heavenly Father?